I welcome any of your questions. I'll give you the my email address at a later, well, I'll post it on the group page. But please, please, please don't inbox me with your questions, because I get tons of inboxes, and it takes me a minute to go through them. And then when I don't answer people right away, I've had folks get highly offended. They'll stalk you on your Facebook page. And, you know, I just don't want to go that route. So send your questions, your comments, what have you, send them to my email. I'll post that on the page after we finish this lesson. So let's get straight into our topic for today. As I stated, we're talking about disappointment in the prophetic. As I mentioned earlier, we are in a prophetic dispensation. Joel prophesied it, that, you know, the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon all flesh, and all the sons and daughters shall prophesy. Now, in that, here's something very key. Every believer should prophesy. All right, because that grace is available to you. If you are spirit-filled, if you are born again, then you have the Word of God dwelling inside of you that you can regurgitate, you know, and prophesy over your own situations. You do not have to chase prophets. I don't know how many more times I need to say that. You do not have to chase a prophet. If a prophet has a word for you, believe me, the Lord knows where you are. He knows how to get in contact with you, and he will get that word to you. So if there's something you're seeking the Lord for, you're praying about it, begin to you know, push that river that's in your belly, push that river out, push it out of your mouth, and begin to prophesy over your situations. Prophesy the will of the Lord over your marriage, over your money, over your health, over your, you know, ministry. Speak the word of God, and then the Lord, you know, he may choose to send a prophet to confirm, you know what you're saying. So anyway, I won't go off onto that one. But so we're talking about disappointment in the prophetic because, as I stated, we're in a prophetic dispensation, and everybody and their cousins, you know, are claiming to be prophets. I don't know if it's, praise the Lord. So there's just a lot of confusion. There's a lot of disappointment. Many don't know. They don't know what's going on. And so we find now the reason why the Lord put the scripture, do not despise prophecy, because some people have actually begun to hate prophetic ministry because of the nonsense that has been taking place. But God has birthed prophetic ministry. Prophetic ministry is from his heart, and he fully intends it to be effective. But as with anything, many of us have abused it. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Again, that's Proverbs 13, 12. Now, deferred means postponed, dragged out, or prolonged. So in other words, he's saying that, you know, something that you're believing in, and I'm going to use this in terms of prophetic. If you have received the prophetic word and, you know, this thing has been dragged out, it's been postponed, you know, prolonged, you know, it's deferred, then the Bible says it makes the heart sick. Now, in the Hebrew translation of the word sick, it means weak, tired, and wounded. And here is what we are seeing in the body of Christ as it pertains to many who have been wounded by prophetic ministry. Their hearts have been sick. They've received a word from somebody, and, you know, either God had not spoken and the prophet prophesied presumptuously, or, you know, they are not living according to the standards by which that prophetic word can be released. And so you're finding all these different emotions as it pertains to prophetic ministry, and this is why we're talking about the disappointment. There are many who are disappointed because somebody told them that so-and-so was their husband, and you know, come to find out so-and-so was not their husband, or they found out somebody told them this was their job, or this is your day, or 3 days of breakthrough, or whatever the situation is, and then when that time comes, they don't see the thing that they've been hoping and believing for. And so, you know, this is why this is very important that we talk about this, because it's more common than you realize. As a matter of fact, some of you listening may have, you know, experienced disappointment in the prophetic. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know, I'm kind of sick, all this stuff, everybody's throwing out words, and, you know, I just don't really know what to, you know, you don't really know what to believe, okay? So we're going to talk about that. Revelation 19:10 says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Testimony in the Greek is the word maturia, and it means a testifying as if before a judge, all right? And so it means also to bear witness, to record, or to report. So when you think about prophetic ministry, genuine, authentic prophetic ministry, when a person is prophesying to you, they should prophesy as if they're standing before a judge who is going to hold them accountable for every word that they speak. Now, if every prophet understood this, I promise you, you know, people would be much more careful about some of the words that they're releasing. But this is what Revelation 19:10 says. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, when the word of the Lord is coming to you in the spirit of prophecy, that person that's prophesying to you, that word is testifying before the Lord. That word that they're giving you must bear witness with the Lord. It must give a report of the Lord. And so this brings you to asking yourself the question, is this prophetic word that I'm receiving from prophet so-and-so, does this word bear witness with the ministry, the truth, the works of the Lord Jesus Christ? In other words, if this person tells me in 3 days I'm going to get a breakthrough, can I find any type of biblical example to bear witness with what this person has told me? Every prophetic word you receive must be validated according to the word of God. I posted online a few days ago that the spoken voice of the Lord must agree with his scribal or the literary voice. In other words, what you're hearing that people told you God said has to agree with what God has already said, okay? And there's also judgment in the book of Revelation for anyone who adds to the word of God. So there's a lot of things going on that really concerns me in the prophetic. I'm going to go through a list in just a little bit, but, let's talk about this. To define a New Testament prophet, because there's the Old Covenant prophet, and then there's the New Testament prophet. I covered this in my book, The Burden of Prophetic Ministry. If you have prophetic ministry, if you have questions about what type of ministry you were called to in the prophetic, I encourage you to get that book. It's only $6. But what you could spend on a hamburger at McDonald's, you could get something that will open up the doors of Revelation to you. But a New Testament or a covenant prophet is this. First of all, the Greek word for prophet is prophetes, and it means an interpreter of events, one who is moved by the Spirit of God, and is his organ, in other words, God's mouth, God's heart, God's foot, God's hand, you know, whatever function of God's body that he determines at that particular point. So this person is moved by the Spirit of God, is God's spokesman, is God's organ for that particular occasion, and this person simply declares to men what he has received by inspiration as it pertains to the future events, or, listen, as specifically as it relates to the cause and kingdom of God and to human salvation. Now, let me just make that real plain what I just said. A New Testament prophet, they are inspired or anointed by the Lord to interpret events. If you're going through a situation in your life, they can interpret by the grace, by the anointing of God that dwells within them, that God birthed, that God breathed in them. They have that anointing to say, this is why you're going through this, that, and so forth. This is what you need to do to get out, or this is how long you're going to be there. They're able to interpret that. Okay? Prophets are more than prophesiers. They don't walk around, thus says the Lord, in 3 days you get a new car. Thus says the Lord, it's a turnaround. You know, that's very flimsy, okay? When you talk about a prophet, prophets are weighted, W-E-I-G-H-T-E-D, weighted individuals. They're heavy. And this is why the young lady asked earlier about the mantle, because they have to guard, you know, what God has put inside of them. So, you know, prophets don't throw their words around because their words are being judged. This is why Jesus said, on that day there will be many who say, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? Because you were bearing witness to a word that, you gave a word that Jesus could not bear witness to. You gave a word that Jesus could not identify with. All right? So when you think about New Testament prophets or New Covenant prophets, these are interpreter of events. They're moved by the Spirit of God, not by the flesh, not by your flesh, and not by your mind. They are God's organ piece of that particular moment. Spokesmen, they will declare by inspiration what the Lord has revealed to them. They can declare, they can help you understand, they can declare future events. But most importantly, they will relate to the cause of the kingdom of God and to human salvation. These are people, men filled with the Spirit of God, who by God's authority and command in words of weight, okay, weighted words, they plead the Lord's cause and urges the salvation of men, all right? So prophets, New Testament prophets are concerned about the advancement of the kingdom of God. They are concerned with God's mouthpiece. They're concerned with what is on the Lord's heart. They can discern what is best for the believers. They will help you interpret events of your life. They are moved by the Spirit of God to speak, to instruct, to comfort, to encourage, to rebuke, to convict, and to stimulate the believers, okay? Prophets are also poets. You find a lot of them, the heavy writers, heavy scribal gifts, as far as prophets, singers, a lot of prophets in the art. So now what do we expect from prophetic ministry? And we're going to get to the disappointment part in a minute, but let me just build some foundation here. What do we expect from prophetic ministry? Number one, people want to hear from the Lord. People want to hear from the Lord. If they don't know him personally, they're opened up to being deceived and disappointed. Here is why we have so many false prophets on the loose now, because there is a genuine hunger to hear from the Lord, but not everyone wants to position themselves to hear from God. And so the false prophets, this is where they step in, because people all over, whether they claim to be saved or not, people want to know what's going on, why is this happening to me. This is why you find shows like Dr. Oz and Mark Holbert and all these other guys, because people want answers. They want to know who is the baby daddy. They have questions that they need answers to, but if they're not in position to inquire of the Lord themselves, then that leaves them vulnerable to seeking help from a prophetic voice. And this can be very dangerous, all right, because if you don't know how to discern who is authentically sent from the Lord, you will certainly open yourself up to being disappointed in the prophetic. We move on. As I stated earlier, people have problems, they want answers, they have issues they need solved, and they're looking for direction, all right? They should be able to receive that from prophetic ministry. Prophetic ministry is more than a thus say it. It's more than the Lord told me he's going to bless you. The Lord told me to get ready, get ready, get ready. Prophetic ministry is more than that, okay? Jesus did not leave his heavenly estate, come down here, walk through earth for 33 years, die the torturous death of crucifixion, return to heaven so that we can say, get ready, get ready, get ready. The prophet's words have more weight than that. So prophetic ministry is more than thus saith. It is providing sound spiritual leadership, guidance, counseling, and it's going to always stimulate your spiritual growth. A prophet is going to lead you to the Lord. They're not going to lead you to themselves. They don't even want you to give them no glory or praises. They're going to always give glory to God. They're not glory stealers. This is what you should expect from prophetic ministry. It's someone to lead you and guide you and tell you the truth, whether you want to hear it or not. Prophets do not direct people's lives. That's the Lord's job. Jesus said, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep, all right? We as shepherds, we are actually under shepherds. You know, we lead you to the Lord. You follow us as we follow Christ. So we don't dictate your life. We don't tell you who to marry. We don't tell you what job to get. We don't tell you what house to get. We lead you. We guide you. We impart enough wisdom and revelation into your spirit, man, so that when you have decisions and things that you need to make for your own self, then you equip with enough revelation and wisdom and knowledge to make the right decision. Okay? But prophets don't direct people's lives. You will never find an illustration in Scripture where a prophet directed somebody's life. But we don't control people's lives. People don't belong to the prophets. They belong to the Lord. So we don't dictate areas in anybody's life. God is telling you should marry so-and-so because so-and-so doesn't. No, the Lord will never force you to marry. Anybody will never force you to do anything. He can choose you to stay, who you will serve. God always gives us choices, but he provides us with enough information to make an intelligent choice. So let's talk about why the recipients of prophetic ministry have been disappointed. First key is many do not understand the ministry of the prophet. As I stated earlier, many are looking for something from the prophet that they should only get from the Lord. Okay? The prophet is to guide you and to lead you, to make sure you understand how to hear God's voice. They make sure you understand how they will show you areas in your life that need to be adjusted or pruned or that you need to be delivered from, but they will always point you to the Lord. So a lot of times disappointment comes when we expect prophets, to do it all for us. We have a bill that needs to be paid. We're calling the prophet. Well, what should I do? That's what psychics do. They're the ones that tell you, well, this is what you need to do. But a prophet will say, you need to pray and seek the Lord about that, or you need to learn how to give. Or, they will always give you a spiritual word that you can go back to the Father and begin to seek some more things from him Many are disappointed, number two, because they're not seeing prophecy fulfilled. What they don't understand is that when the prophet comes to their church and tells them all these great, wonderful things, and then the prophet leaves with a great offering, what they have not learned is that prophecy has conditions. The word of God is conditional. You'll read that in Deuteronomy 28, that the Lord will bless you if you do these things, and the Lord will curse you if you don't do these things. So every prophetic word you receive is conditional. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and said, hey, you know, the Spirit of God's going to overtake you, this, that, and so forth, she had to make a decision. She said, be it unto me, O Lord, even as you will. She opened her spirit. She opened herself, and she received the word of the Lord as it came to Gabriel. And so her spirit then was conditioned to cause that prophetic word to manifest. If Mary would have rejected the word from Gabriel, believe me, there would have been somebody else who would have been Jesus' mom. So, in the natural course. So understand this, that many are disappointed in the prophetic because somebody gave them a word, but nobody took the time to explain to them that there are processes that are that goes along with the fulfillment of that prophetic word. If you would, I did a teaching on the Valley of Dry Bones. I think it's recorded somewhere. I'll find it. And in that, I was talking about the processes of prophetic fulfillment. And you find, if you're familiar with that, the shaking, the wrestling, the wind blowing, all these things taking place, and then they stood up a great army of the Lord. And so that also happens in prophetic ministry. When you receive a word from the Lord, there's going to be some things that's going to happen in your life. There's going to be a shifting. It's going to be a shaking. All of these things are going to happen, first of all, to test your growth, to test your spirit, to make sure that you can handle what it is, you know, that's coming your way. And many times, some people fail the test. For example, if the Lord has called you to ministry and somebody tells you, they'll say, the Lord, God's already called you, and this is, you know, this, that, and so forth, and then you start going through tests and trials, and you know, not understanding that word is going to, that God is going to test that word in your life. He is going to determine whether you can, whether you are grown, spiritually grown enough to handle it. Are you able to handle ministry? And so you may go through tests like dealing with people, dealing with haters, dealing with gossip. Why? Because if you call to ministry, who are you ministering to? People. So you're going to have to learn how to deal with people's fickle emotions. You're going to have to learn how to deal with backbiters. You're going to have to learn how to deal with haters in order to be prepared and successfully groomed for ministry. So, again, if you don't understand that, then, you know, you've got your business cards made up. You've got your website. You're ready for somebody to invite you to preach somewhere. And then the first time something happens, you know, you look crazy because you don't understand the process in prophetic fulfillment. So understand that many are disappointed in prophetic ministry because they don't understand the process of the fulfillment of the prophetic word in their life. You have to love, you have to forgive, and you have to live right. Those are just the three basic fundamental things that you've got to live by on top of anything else that the Lord is requiring from you. Remember this, what the scripture says, the more to whom much is given, much is required. So if you attend 10,000 prophetic conferences a year and you're getting word from this prophet and that prophet and that prophet, guess what? You are going to be tested for every prophetic word that you said amen to and that you received. I'm just going to let that breathe because that was heavy. I'm going to move on past that. The third point of disappointment for the recipient in prophetic ministry is that some of them try to go ahead and force a prophetic word into manifestation. And we know the story of Sarah, Abraham, and Hagar. Sarah could not wait on the promise of God. She didn't know, you know, whether the Lord forgot about her or maybe the Lord was joking. Maybe Abraham missed it. So she goes and tries to help the Lord out. And, of course, we know the result of that. We see wars in the open Jerusalem today as a result of Sarah trying to force the word to come to pass. Whatever your prophetic word is, whatever you do, do not attempt to force God's hand. If you have a word, let's just say for marriage, because that's a strong word that's going around right now, and you're going out trying to make this thing on your own, you're going to say Billy Bob, and you're going to be Billy Bob so-and-so, and then you marry Billy Bob and come to find out Billy Bob killed everything about your life, then, you know, don't go blaming God or blaming the prophet. You didn't allow for that prophetic word to mature, okay? It's almost like you ate an unripened fruit. Just because you see it budding on a tree doesn't mean it's time for you to pluck it off and eat it. You have to wait until it's fully ripened. And so there's some prophetic words that, you know, many of us, we lack patience, we lack temperance. Some of us have character issues. We won't let God purge us. We won't stay in the fire long enough. We won't stay in church long enough. But we're ready for these words to come to pass. And so we're grabbing this stuff, and we're trying to force God's hand, and we're trying to smear God's name over and say, God said it, and this God confirmed it, and the Lord said, not so. So many have been disappointed in the prophetic because they have tried to force a word to come to pass if it didn't come to pass in their own timing. You know, we all have our own timing when we feel that God should do stuff, and sometimes the Lord takes too long. So we have to take it upon ourselves, and that's when we find ourselves in a heap of trouble. Another thing is, many times we don't seek counsel. If the Lord has given you a word for marketplace ministry that you're going to open a business, you're going to write a book, you're going to do all this, pardon me, but I cannot tell you how many people I've had to pray for and minister to about this, that they receive a word and they don't have a counsel of the word. They just received it and they ran with it. Anytime you buy a new appliance, a new car, even a new house, it comes with the instruction manual. You know, any electronic, your cell phone, your computer, anything, you know, any type of device, it's going to come with this set of instructions, okay? It may tell you that this thing needs assembly, and it, you know, tell you about steps as far as assembling, whatever. So when you get your prophetic word, make sure you get counsel, okay? Ask the Lord about this. Lord, you called me to marketplace ministry, so, you know, where do you want me to plant? Where do you want me to do? You know, learn how to take that word and go to God with it, all right? Ask the Lord about it. Don't just take what somebody says and try to build a house on top of it and you had to check the foundation of it. Get some counsel. You'll never build a house without a blueprint. And so many people are trying to build upon a prophetic word and they have no blueprint, all right? So even in that, don't blame the prophet. They gave you a good word, but you had an obligation to go to the Father to get counsel on that, okay? Fourth point, I think, is expecting something from God, but he can't expect anything from you. Here's something. We expect every prophetic word, every promise, and the Word of God says this, that the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen, and that's true. That is very true. But the Bible has so many thousands of other verses that, you know, clues us in to personal responsibility. God has spoken, yes, but then God also has requirements for that word to come to pass. So we expect in the Lord to bring all these great, wonderful prophetic promises to pass in our life, but he's also expecting something from us. He's expecting covenant. He's expecting loyalty. He's expecting obedience, all right? So understand this, as you receive the word from the Lord, you know, come to grips with the fact that he's looking for something from you too. There's got to be an exchange, all right? Heaven has to, as earth is releasing seed as heaven is releasing seed to earth, earth has to respond to heaven, okay? As it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. There has to be a response. There has to be an exchange. You just can't take from the Lord, and he can't get anything out of you. You won't pray. You won't give. You won't do nothing, but you expect God to just do everything for you. You know, that's not going to happen, and you're going to find yourself very disappointed. You can't live shady. You can't shack. You can't, you know, lie and steal and gossip about folks you don't like, and then you wonder why God has not answered your prayer. You wonder why your promises are not coming to pass. You wonder why, you know, the Bible says examine your own ways. Examine yourself. See if you be in the faith. Know whether Christ or his word dwells in you. So, you know, we must live a life of faith in order for those words to come to pass. The fifth key is many people are disappointed in prophetic ministers because they see arrogance in the prophetic ministry. A prophet, yes, they do carry the weight of the Lord and the anointing and the oil and all of that stuff, but that doesn't make them any better than anybody else. So when they see prophets walk around with their chest poked out and, you know, get down from head to toe, and I'm, hey, you know, wear whatever you want to wear, but don't try to set yourself apart from the people as if you're better. You might be different, but you're not better, okay? We all have to go through the same Jesus to get to heaven. So many people are turned off by prophetic ministry because they see that arrogance, that elitism in the prophetic. Yes, you should respect prophetic ministry, but prophetic ministry should also respect other aspects of the ministry, too. We're not above anybody. And this is not my notes, but let me go here. What I'm finding now is a lot of prophets are trying to disconnect from the church. You know, God called me out and all this stuff, but you'll never find that in Scripture. Whenever Jesus sent them out, he sent them out two by two, and they came back. And when they came back, they gave a report. Lord, we have done all these things. We cast out devils. And Jesus said, don't marvel over that. Rejoice in that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Even in the Book of Acts, when we found that the early church was being organized, orchestrated, Barnabas and Silas, they were sent out from the Council of Jerusalem. You know, they didn't just wander around and I'm a prophet to the nation and I hear from God and God only. You know, you have to be accountable. And even beyond that, looking into Ephesians, where the Bible says how the fivefold, we work together. You know, you're not a thumb, you know, on a hand by itself. There's four other fingers that play a role. So prophets, you do work with pastors. You do work with, you're supposed to work with apostles, but you do work with the pastors and the teachers and the evangelists. You're not above that, and you are called to the church. That's where we're supposed to equip the church. So anytime you find a prophet that feels a bit too spiritual to be in a church, then you have to really understand. You got to really, you know, start looking at the fruit of their prophetic ministry. Is it lining up with the prophetic ministry in the Word of God? Are they connected to a home church? Do they have an apostle? Are they working with a pastor? You know, you got to look at that. Get beyond how awesome and the great flowing words. Get past that. Paul said, you know, I wasn't even trying to come at you with great filling words of man's wisdom. He said, I came to you in fear and trembling. So he said, don't look at the power in my word. Look in the demonstration of the Spirit of God that comes as a result of what I said. So so many have turned off from that because there's an arrogance in the prophetic that the Lord hates, okay? Six things the Lord hates, seven things are an abomination. And one of those things is a proud look. God hates that. So even as, I don't care how anointed you are as a prophet, be humble. There's anger in the prophetic. People are angry against pastors. The poor pastors, God knows they get it. Jezebel's running around. People want to control and dominate your life. They want you to serve them. Manipulation for material gain, you know, and forced servitude. Be my armor bearer. Carry my shoes. Carry my Bible. Just a bunch of nonsense. You know, I mean, my God, what in the world does this have to do with fulfilling the prophetic calling of the Lord Jesus Christ? What does that have to do with anything? So, again, always take what you see and go right back to the Word of God with it. Measure everything. Isaiah said this line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, that there a little. You measure everything you see and hear in prophetic ministry, well, in any ministry, but since we're talking about the prophets, you measure that by the Word of God, and you begin to discern the fruit, and the Spirit of God will open up some things to you that that you need to see. The sixth point, I think I'm on number six, is that false prophets have made a mockery of the prophetic. So, again, we see the disappointment in with the people receiving prophecies because many of them, if they don't know how to discern, they don't know the difference between a false prophet and a true prophet. And let me just say this. There are also true prophets who are ignorant prophets. And they can borderline, and they can also mimic some of the same patterns as false prophets. Now, let me just break that down and make that clear. When I say ignorant prophet, I don't mean stupid or, you know, anything of that. I'm talking about unlearned. I'm talking about a prophet who has not taken the time to be discipled. Every prophet must be discipled. Every prophet must study from another prophet or an apostle. Every prophet has to, you know, they have to submit like everybody else. And so you find...
All right, praise the Lord. We are back. I don't know what in the world happened. We must have hit a nerve, but we're going to keep pressing forward. Amen. I was talking about the unlearned process that sometimes it's difficult to, you know, sometimes it's difficult to tell the difference between a novice or an unlearned prophet compared to a false prophet. Now, the difference between with a false prophet, and I won't get into a lot of teaching on that right now, but the main difference with a false prophet is that their heart is not right. They can give all the accurate words. They can, you know, do all these things, but their heart is not right, okay? They're in it for the wrong reasons. They're in it to draw people after themselves, or they're in it for financial gain or some other material, you know, wealth. So their heart is not right. But there are some true prophets who are just unlearned. They don't know. They haven't been taught. You know, either they're not around, you know, more seasoned prophets. Maybe there's still some areas of rebellion that are working in this spirit that the Lord needs to prune or to, you know, purge from them. So, you know, there is a difference. But in terms of the unlearned prophets, sometimes they can make prophetic ministry disappointing for the person they're ministering to if they don't understand what they're doing. And they can be a shown up called prophet of God, but having never been taught how to function in their prophetic ministry. And so that too, you know, because listen, prophets hold the secrets of the Lord, okay? The Lord said, I will not do anything unless I reveal my secrets to the servants of prophets. Understand this, that not everything the Lord shows you is to be told. When somebody tells you a secret, it's a secret. So not everything that the Lord shares is to be shared with others. And if it is to be shared, he's going to dictate the timing of when that thing should be shared. So if you're dealing with a prophet who is unlearned, a new prophet, a novice prophet, they may share some burdens of the Lord or some things from the Lord that's premature. All right. Or they may see something like, you know, they may have a dream about something happening in your life. And because they don't really know how to take that to the Lord in prayer, they'll run to you with it. The Lord showed me that you're going to die in 2 days. You know, it just caused a lot of problems instead of taking what God showed them and pray over it. So, again, you know, an unlearned prophet is almost as bad as a false prophet. The difference is the false prophet has a bad heart. They don't want to learn to do right. They don't care. They're in it because they see the accolades, they see the money, they see the fame, and that's why they're in it. They could care less whether your word is fulfilled or not. But an unlearned prophet, or a baby prophet, I guess I should say, they will make mistakes in the prophetic. And, you know, it's not so much that God is not using them. They just don't know how. They don't know how to function in that grace. So let me move past that one. Let's see where. Okay, so I think I'm done with that particular point. So now I want to talk about why prophets are disappointed, because remember I told you that I wanted to address this from both issues, I mean from both standpoints, from the person receiving prophetic ministry to the person actually functioning in prophetic ministry. And believe it or not, there are many prophets that are disappointed in prophetic ministry, okay? So let's just talk about that. Number one, the first key is there are some prophets who had set unrealistic expectations, all right? I don't know what they were thinking. Some prophets think that they're going to give a word and it's going to come to pass tomorrow and people are going to love them and people are going to buy their books and they're going to join their church. And, you know, so they sort of set these unrealistic expectations of what prophetic ministry is. And then when they don't get the fame, when they don't receive the notoriety, when people don't join their church or don't send them money or whatever, you know, they're expectation is, then they become disappointed. Well, did God call me? And, you know, maybe I missed it or what have you, when that's not the case. The issue is, you know, you've got to check the motives of your heart. Look, prophets can miss it too. Nobody's exempt. And sometimes even to keep a prophet humble, God will deliberately allow certain situations in their life just to keep them under his thumb. Okay, because even Paul said, lest I be exalted above measure, because Paul had so much revelation. Paul wrote, 13 books of the 27 books in the New Testament. You're talking about somebody full of revelation. And so, you know, the Lord had to humble Paul. Now, I'm not saying God put sicknesses on you. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is this: God will allow circumstances and situations to happen in your life. I am a full-born, blooded believer that God will allow certain things, certain thorns in your flesh to humble you, to keep you humble, to make sure that no matter how well you speak or how well you write, that you don't ever get above yourself, that you always recognize that God is in charge. So this is what happened with Paul. Paul said, you know, lest I be exalted above a measure, lest I be exalted above measure for the abundance of revelation that was given to me. He said, I was given a messenger of Satan. He buffeted me with a thorn in my side. Paul said, I sought the Lord 3 times for this thing to be removed. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So understand this, even as a prophet, God will allow you to go through things. It doesn't mean that God is angry with you. Doesn't mean that you're a false prophet. Doesn't mean that, you know, you'll be attacked by a witch. You know how we can do. Everything is warfare these days. But there may be instances where God wants to humble you. All right. So when it comes to unrealistic expectations, if you think that everything is going to go well with you, somebody pulled you out of a crowd and told you that you're the next prophet to the nations, and if you think that somebody's going to throw you a passport and tickets to overseas and everything is going to be everything, you are in for a rude awakening. And this is why many are disappointed in prophetic ministry, is because when somebody pulled them out and told them they were a prophet, nobody raised them up. Nobody trained them. They hadn't submitted to anybody. So they're running around with a thus saith, and God is not backing them up, and they're wondering what's wrong. So understand this, that God will allow certain situations in your life to humble you, okay? Another key, second key, is that prophets, they themselves can lack confidence in the words that they release. The Word of God says that, that we prophesy according to the measure of our faith. Now, if you have a prophet that hasn't gone through anything, can't go through anything, but yet, you know, they want to prophesy, their prophecy is going to be limited to their measure of faith. And I mentioned Sunday morning in my message that there's some prophets that can't prophesy past their hand in front of their face, because they hadn't experienced nothing in the Lord. They hadn't gone places in the Lord. They hadn't, you know, they don't have any journeys and adventures and things, because God can't trust them to go through that without them backsliding. So understand this. If you want your word to be great and profound and deep and all this stuff, you're going to have to go through something, all right? You're going to have to suffer some things for Christ's namesake so that you can have some testimonies to stand on. But if you have not developed your faith as a prophet, then when you do release the word of the Lord, you're going to lack the confidence, because you don't have that experience in the Lord like that. And so many prophets, they want to prophesy these great swelling things, and when they're not able to do that, there's a disappointment that sets in, because they're trying to compare themselves to somebody else. You are the prophet God created you to be. He didn't make you Juanita Bynum. He didn't make you Cindy Trim or the other Cindy, Lord, I can't remember her name, but, you know, he didn't make you that person, you know. He made you you. And so it's the experiences of your life, the knowledge that you have and the things that you have gone through that gives credibility and credentials to your prophetic ministry, not what somebody else has. That's their walk with God. You have to develop your own faith walk. Let me move on, because we got to put a lot of time in so far. The third point is many prophets are afraid of being judged. If you are giving somebody a word and you're afraid of somebody else, of that person taking that word to another prophet, then something is wrong, all right? What you speak to one, you should be confident in speaking to all. This is why I have an issue with sidewalk prophets and parking lot prophets and bathroom prophets. If God has given a word, not less of some, you know, something about a person's, you know, personal life that don't nobody need to know about, okay? But if the Lord is releasing a word to someone, then it's not a, you know, they have every right. If you have the audacity to release a word into their life and you're expecting their life to conform to what you said, they have every right to take that word you gave them to their pastor, to their bishop, to their apostle, or to another seasoned prophet to have that word judged. So if there's a prophet that says, well, don't tell nobody what God is saying, but so and so, they lack the confidence in their word being judged, and you need to watch that fruit. Next point, there's disappointments among the prophets because they found many who have tried to prostitute their gifts. There are some now, there are some pastors that I know of personally that are trying to bring prophets in their church, will even lure them financially so that they can grow their membership. Okay, people will try to prostitute your gift. People will join your Facebook page looking for a prophetic word. They do me like this all the time. Inbox me, prophets, what you see about me? Nothing. I don't see a thing. I don't want to see nothing. If there's something that the Lord wants to reveal to you, then check it on my post. But, you have to be careful about people trying to back you up into a corner to feed their ego. If you're that desperate for a word, you need to fall on your face and you need to seek the Lord himself. So, many prophets have been prostituted. Some people have married prophets thinking that their business is going to swell. And I know a couple like this in ministry that, this guy married a woman. She was a prophet because he thought she was going to take his ministry to the next level. Come to find out the whole marriage broke up and the church split up. So you have to watch your motives in these types of things. So there's the prostitution of prophetic giftings from leadership, from other ministry friends, or just casual friends who think just because you're a prophet and, that you're supposed to tell them everything that goes on in their life, and they'll try to use you. So you have to watch out for that as well. The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 point, I think, is why prophets are disappointed is because many are not fit for the battles and the warfare surrounding their spiritual gifts. With the prophetic ministry comes Jezebel, comes suicide spirits, comes mental torturing and tormenting spirits, comes nightmare spirits. When you look through the Old Testament, you will find every prophet, you will find a battle that every prophet went through trying to function in the ministry that God called them to. Just because God calls you as a prophet does not mean you're going to sail through life with no problems. You're not going to be able to speak a word over everything you go through. Some things you're going to have to go through for the trying of your faith, for the growing of your faith. So there are many who are claiming the name of a prophet, and then when the warfare comes that belongs to the prophetic office, they can't stand. They don't know how to deal with Jezebel. They don't know how to handle when somebody talks about them. They don't understand this stuff because they haven't been groomed for the warfare that goes with it. And the same thing applies to the apostolic. Same thing applies to the pastoral anointing. With every fivefold office comes with it its share of warfare. It comes with its share of demonic attacks. So if you're not ready for that, then you have to be careful about putting on that prophet cape or that title, and then you can't handle the backlash that comes with it. Let me move past that. I think I've got 2-3 more, and I'm done. The next thing what's bothering a lot of prophets, what's disappointing prophets in prophetic ministry, is that they're having personal issues in their personal lives. Okay, here's another, like I said earlier, there's a lot of warfare that that surrounds prophetic ministry. And Jesus said it, the chief master prophet said it, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and, around his own family. The number one warfare you're going to go through as a prophet is with your people, those close to you. You will receive more respect from somebody who doesn't know you, somebody who has never laid eyes on you. You'll receive more respect from them than you would those that you grew up with or those that you married or even those you birthed. You'll receive more respect from outsiders than the ones right around your circle because they're judging you based on who they always knew you to be. And so you're going to find that type of warfare in your personal life that you have to be prepared for. And many prophets, they're not able to deal with that. You find a lot of prophets have divorces. A lot of prophets are separated. They have to move from towns and villages and things because of the warfare surrounding their personal life that they're not able to deal with. As a prophet, we are called to remain faithful no matter what goes on in our life, no matter what the warfare is, we are still required to remain faithful. Let's move on to the 7th, I think, point. Disappointment in the prophetic among the prophets is that they expect to hear from the Lord all the time about everything, and that is not always the case. There will be seasons when the Lord is silent. There will be seasons when the Lord is not speaking.
Recording has started.
Okay. There will be seasons when the Lord, like he did with Elijah, where God just hides himself and just watches you go through. There will be times. So to think that you're going to receive a word for every situation you go through, remember even when Jesus, the Lord of all glory, was being crucified, what did he say? Father, why have you forsaken me? So if the Lord hid himself from Jesus, how much more would he hide himself from you and from me? And when he does that, he doesn't do that to harm us or to be mean to us, but many times the Lord hides himself for our spiritual growth. We've got to learn how to trust him by faith. When we don't see him, when we don't hear him, when we don't feel spiritual, we've got to trust him by faith. And the very last point, and then we're going to wrap this up in prayer, is for the prophets being disappointed, is that they're targeted by witches and, like I said earlier, mind-debilitating spirits. Again, going back to the ministry of Elijah the prophet, his chief enemy, adversary, was Jezebel. And beyond that, he had issues. You know, I wish I would have died. Even Job said, you know, he cursed the day that he came from his mother's womb. So as a prophet, you will go through times where you feel suicidal. Okay, you will go through periods in your ministry and your relationship with the Lord where you will wonder, God, why you call me? The price is too much. Nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. You know, like Jonah, you're trying to get away from the people because you don't like them. You will go through all of these types of battles and wars, but again, you're graced for that. Okay, just because you're going through that doesn't mean that it's going to take you under. You're to go through it, grow through it, and mature from it. And this is why God has graced you and He has called you. There are many people that have called themselves to prophetic ministry, but those that God has called, He will keep them in that. Amen. All right, we are done listing those. The disappointments for both sides of the coin, far as those receiving prophetic ministry and those who are functioning in prophetic ministry. And so let me just say, for people on both ends of it, okay, that you don't give up. You don't hate prophecy. You don't hate prophesying because you're having a bad day or because something is not going the way you expect them to. You've got to get past that. One of the first things for the people that are disappointed with prophetic ministry is to repent, first of all, for putting your trust in man. Don't ever put your trust in man. Don't ever put your trust in a prophet. Even if you receive the word of God from them and it's a good word, bless God for the word, but you keep your trust in the Lord. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:5, curses the one who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength and who departs from the Lord. So you make sure that no matter who's prophesying to you, you don't give that person your heart. Your heart belongs to the Lord. You don't put your trust in man. Man will let you down. Man will fall. That same prophet that gave you a good word can go through something tomorrow in their personal life, and you won't see nothing that looks like a prophet about them. So you've got to understand that even though God is using them, they're still human, and they're still prone to making mistakes just like you are. So give them, and I always say this, give a prophet the license to be human. Okay, they may have an attitude one day. They may go through certain things, just life. But, you know, don't put your trust in them. Put your trust in the Lord. Study to show yourself approved. Regardless of what word that you have received, take it to the Lord in prayer. Search for that word in Scripture. Search for the validation of that word in Scripture. The third key, judge the prophecy, okay? You will save yourself a lot of heartache and disappointment if you receive a word that you don't really understand. Take it to somebody. Take it to a seasoned prophet or a mature mentor or somebody and say, hey, you know what? So-and-so told me this and so forth. I just want you to look at it or, you know, tell me what you think. You know, what do you hear God saying about this? You know, you got to, you know, it's almost like when you go to the doctor and they give you a report, you have the option to get a second opinion. So get your second opinion. If it's a word that you're not sure about, then you owe it to yourself to find out if this thing be so. Get delivered from constantly seeking for a prophetic word. Many people call it prophetic junkies. You get one word, and when that word doesn't come to pass, you're looking for another one. And that doesn't come to pass, you're looking for another one. You know, get delivered from that. Learn how to be confident in the person God called you. Learn how to wait. Learn patience. Learn temperance. Learn how to go through some things. Let God process you for that prophetic word. And I say to you, the prophets who may be listening, to examine your heart, okay? Examine the motives of your heart. Save yourself the disappointment. If you're expecting crowds of people to follow you and love you and call you to that church and that doesn't happen, then you got to search your heart. Is that what you're in this thing for? Do you think that's why God called you, to make your name great or to make His name great? Did God call you to send you across the nations or so that you can make disciples after the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, search your heart. Search your motives. Another thing, prophets, you too need to seek deliverance from depression when your mind is going through things. It's okay to say, hey, you know what? I don't have a word today. God is not speaking to me today. Humble yourself and admit this is not a day, you know, and I tell my church members all the time, today is not the day that you want me to pray for you, okay? And what I found out, it doesn't make me any less of a prophet, but the people in my church, they respect me more because I'm honest. I'm transparent. If I'm going through something in my home or in my body or with my family members and they're pulling on me for something, I say, I don't have that word for you today. I will pray. pray, that God reveals it to you, but I'm just not the vessel that you want to eat from today, okay? Be honest. If you're not in a place with the Lord to where you need to be releasing these words and things, you know, be honest and say, I don't have it today. Today I'm just going to be fed. Today I'm just going to sit down and just go through, okay? And people will respect you more for your honesty rather than you trying to be something that you're not. When the anointing lifts off your life, it lifts. I don't care what you try to do. It will lift until the Lord sees fit to rest it on you again. So you've got to learn how to go with the flow. Repent if you've ever given a misguided prophecy. If the Lord convicted you about something, go back to that person and say, you know what, I missed it, or I was wrong, or, you know, I said that the wrong way. This is what I really meant to say. You know, strive to be honest with all men. Repent if you've given somebody a misguided prophecy or misguided, if you just have the right heart toward what you're called to do. Understand this, when you're releasing a word into somebody's life, that word has the potential of shaping that person's life. And if you've given that person a bad word, it's like you fed your family something with poison in it, it's going to have some type of adverse effect to it, and you're going to be held responsible. So if there's something off that you said, maybe your spirit wasn't right that day, and you prophesied something and you ended up hurting somebody's feelings, go back to that person and say, you know what, Sister So-and-so, brother, I was wrong. I felt like the Lord was saying this, that, and so forth, but you know what? When I went and sought the Lord about it, it was my flesh. Please forgive me and pray for me that God can strengthen me in this area. And God will be pleased with that, and that person will respect you for it, okay? Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless you so much for what we have shared on this session today. I pray, God, for everyone who has been disappointed in prophetic ministry, from the ones receiving prophetic ministry to the ones functioning in prophetic ministry. And I pray, Lord God, that as we share these different pointers and these keys, that they would go back and begin to search their own heart to see, areas that we all can improve in. Father, I pray for the heart of conviction. If there's anyone that has intentionally misguided anybody or falsely prophesied, that, Lord God, a spirit of conviction would come upon them right now, that they would repent. First to you, Father, and then to the person that they ministered to. Lord God, that we could not be a stumbling block, but that, Father, we would be a door, that we would be portals and windows to people accessing the kingdom of God. Father, we bless you for everyone on the line. I thank you for those who sent in questions. And Lord, even though we had trouble on the line, I thank you that we were able to come back and finish this teaching. Now, Father, I pray you will burn it in our hearts. Lord God, hide this word in our heart that we might not sin against you. Bring us back at the appointed time. And Father, I just speak right now, God, fresh revelation over your people. Lord God, that they will begin to understand your word, that they will learn how to dissect the word. Lord God, that they will not be deceived, Father, in the name of Jesus. You said if it was possible that the very elect would be deceiving. Lord, we're seeing that word being fulfilled right before our very eyes. So, Lord, let us not be numbered with the transgressors, God, but let our names be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And let us give you praise and glory for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. I bless the Lord for